Hello, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my dear, and we'll continue our Hebraic Roots lesson on the 40 days of Teshuvah tonight that begins next Tuesday at sundown. But first, let us ask for God's favor.
Abba, Father, you are the God of all gods and King of all kings. Let us be worthy of your favor by never to neglect or compromise your word, but rather look for opportunities to stand tall for what we believe. We pray for those heavy on our hearts that they too will find salvation and experience that undeniable joy that permeates our souls. Even in these turbulent times, we ask protection for the two Christian astronauts stuck in space. May they return safely. And we pray for the Israeli hostages and all those affected. Thank you for your continued watchful eye. Anoint our lips tonight, O God, and may this study bless you. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let us begin with the most important news of the day, Israel.
Well, as you probably have now heard, Hezbollah was getting ready to launch an estimated 6,000 rockets and UAVs into Israel. But thanks to great intelligence and no doubt inspired by God, Israel was able to thwart that by preemptively striking southern Lebanon, taking out many of Hezbollah's launch pads. However, very quickly in retaliation, Hezbollah was able to fire 320 rockets into northern Israel, including Tel Aviv. Most were intercepted by their Iron Dome and David Sling defense system.
Well, you know, that was early Sunday.
Yeah, and yesterday, the ceasefire negotiations ended without a deal, and Egypt officials confirmed what we knew by saying they will not accept an Israeli presence at the Rafah crossing or the Philadelphia corridor.
As we said last week, that is a major sticking point.
Right. Hamas wants to be able to continue bringing in all kinds of weaponry into Gaza, which could never happen with an Israeli presence at Gaza's border with Egypt. And Israel will not back down either.
Nor should they.
But we all know that Secretary of State Blinken is pressuring Netanyahu to give in. While Egypt declares that these negotiating failures will trigger an expansion into a big regional war. As well, Iran said that their own retaliation is coming, and they will decide when. Meanwhile, Hezbollah continues to be Iran's scapegoat and is continuing with their rockets daily, still retaliating for the killing of Commander Aziz and his unit last month.
Well, you know, they were a big planner of October 7th.
They were.
As well as the IDF is continuing in Gaza.
And yesterday they took out another launcher used by Hamas on Sunday, firing into central Israel. Thankfully, there were no injuries. But Israel continues to take out dozens of more terrorists, locating large quantities of weapons. And praise the Lord, this morning they rescued another hostage from a tunnel in southern Gaza. Still, many are left.
Well, you know, meanwhile, the Houthis are still attacking ships.
Yeah, and on Saturday they hit a Greek oil tanker, which, of course, is an ally of Israel, in the Red Sea, causing major explosions, resulting in a major oil spill covering miles over those beautiful waters. Remember to pray for the people in Israel.
And also in the continuing war in Ukraine.
Oh, yes.
All right, comments on the Democratic National Convention?
Well, I just must. Kamala's attack speech on Trump was full of falsehoods. And just one example out of many is she said Trump intends to cut Medicare and Social Security. He has never shown even an interest in touching entitlements. In fact, has just said the opposite. But it is her that will damage Social Security and Medicare for sure, just by allowing the illegal immigrants to partake.
And she claims to reduce illegal immigration.
Oh, how do you know she'll do that?
She'll just legalize it.
Of course, that is her plan, not really to stop it.
Right.
At the heart of their radical agenda is called the U.S. Citizenship Act, and it's the most extreme and absurd amnesty bill ever written.
It's a blatant population replacement bill.
Designed to flood our country with foreigners who will vote Democrat, effectively drowning out legitimate American citizens. If Dems win both houses and this act passes, it would be a bullet train to the destruction of our nation. Again, let us remind listeners of Jeremiah 30:11.
Anyhow, Robert Kennedy should be advantageous to Trump in the swing states.
Yes, and that he wants to tackle the FDA, CDC, the NIH, and even others like the CIA. Trump and RFK don't agree on everything, nor do we. But they will unify on some things and set aside the topics that divide them.
Or maybe Trump will change RFK's mind on those some things.
Yes, right. For he's obviously changed Kamala's mind as she is flip-flopping from many of her previous far-left policy statements, literally stealing the no tax on tips policy after she broke the tie vote to hire over 80,000 tax agents to audit those making tips. Anyhow, her speech was like eating the frosting on a cake without the cake.
All vibes with no substance.
And the speech she had given the Friday before on her economy has been ridiculed heavily, especially about going after grocery stores over price gouging, which they're not doing. They're only making like 1-2% profit. And those of us who study eschatology know that the Democratic Party lies, and its leaders are controlled by the New World Order elite who keeps saying, let's move forward. Well, it's as if Kamala was following Trump's presidency when it's been her and Biden for the last 4 years.
Right.
When they moved into the White House, there was nothing broken.
They broke it.
And now we have open borders, inflation, high energy costs, and by the way, when they keep using the word freedom, what they are really saying is more freedom of government to rule over the people. And we do agree with Tulsi Gabbard, who said,
the now evolved Democratic Party is led by an elite cabal of woke warmongers driven by an insatiable greed for power, which they abuse.
And I'll add to that. The far-left progressives are extremely hostile to those with a strong Christian faith. And to see people holding up signs reading Evangelicals for Harris?
Yeah, many of those are paid infiltrators.
That just stings my heart. And I will address all that in our next newsletter because you won't believe how many of them there are. But then again, these are those days most talked about in Scripture.
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
And they still openly demonize the police.
And give permits to pro-Hamas protesters.
Proving they're anti-Israel. And we'll leave on this. They go hard after their political opponents. Assassination if necessary. But make no mistake, there are good people who are still moderate Democrats. But the party has been shifting for a while. It's time to wake up and at least move to independent, like RFK did.
Where some of his own family have disowned him.
It's shameful. But let us recall Psalm 37, verse 1.
Do not fret because of evildoers.
Right. God's got this. So be content in all situations. Focus on your own due diligence as a Christian. If appropriate, transfer from the Church of Laodicea and into the Church of Philadelphia. And lastly, how do we prove to God that we actually do love one another? Even the lost?
By witnessing to them.
For that's real love. So look and pray for opportunities. That's a prayer he is sure to answer.
Okay, we welcome your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Send us your prayer request, and please consider a love offering, which is received with much gratitude, and any correspondence will automatically add you to our monthly newsletter list. You can also bless your gift of love on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. Okay, let's continue our study of Hebraic roots.
Yes, about the 40-day season of Teshuvah, Elul 1 on the Hebrew calendar that we taught on last week and will continue tonight, because it's a unique 40-day season, which this year begins next Tuesday at sundown.
But first, the little review.
Well, of course. And in case you missed last week's program, it is up on shofarministries.net.
As well as our newsletter.
Yes, which also contains this teaching, which was very much recognized in Yeshua's day.
Teshuva means to repent and turn toward a closer walk with God.
We often explain the importance of knowing at least some elementary truths of your Christian Jewish roots. For without this, again, basic knowledge, proper understanding of eschatology is almost impossible. Even Messianic Jewish teachers need to learn their proper roots from the Old Testament days and through the first century.
Because some teachings were altered and lost during the Dark Ages.
Which is why in these last days we are hearing different versions of the end-time scriptures. Two very important priorities to learn about are the idiomatic phrases most used during Jesus' day, which we have covered a lot concerning eschatology.
Well, and of course, the seven appointments of Jesus.
Which is also a superb witnessing tool and helps to increase a Christian's desire to delve deeper into his word.
Also, never get legalistic.
Oh, that's so important. And one area is that Jesus is your Sabbath rest who lives in you. So every day is the Sabbath. Don't tell anybody they must worship on Saturday. We are to worship daily, and we don't need a building to do that. With that said, absolutely meet with other believers.
But any day is okay.
The Sabbath was instituted as a tutor or typology to recognize there is coming a literal future time of rest.
The Messianic Kingdom.
Be sure to reread Galatians 3. So what knowledge should the church glean from Teshuvah?
As we said, the word itself means to repent.
It does, and more specifically, to repent for not being as close to the Lord as one should. Now, tell me the church wouldn't benefit from adhering to this season if only as a reminder. Perhaps it's time to start tithing your time in God's Word.
Teshuvah always begins on Elul 1.
Which on our calendar, the Hebrew lunar calendar, which also matches the Essene calendar this year, begins on September 3rd, next Tuesday at sundown, for 40 days to Yom Kippur.
The Day of Atonement.
However, the Jewish people observed the first 30 days differently than the last 10 days, in that the first 30, the shofar is sounded daily, along with special pre-dawn prayers for forgiveness. And on the 30th day, also called the last trump, 100 blasts are blown. Then, at the sound of the last trump blown, the new year begins, called the Feast of Trumpets.
Or Rosh Hashanah.
Meaning the head of the year.
This grand feast is celebrated for 2 days.
And was believed during Jesus' day, and still today by the more religious Jews, that some year the resurrection would occur on one of those 2 days.
We don't know which day or hour.
Right, which is another idiomatic phrase commonly used for this Feast of Trumpets. Not knowing for sure which night they would see the first slice of the new moon. So when Jesus said that in Matthew 24:36, he knew he was giving a huge clue to those living in the last days, particularly to those who know their Jewish roots. Those who don't usually interpret it differently. Also, Paul gave us a huge clue in 1 Corinthians 15:51 when he used the term the last trump,
which is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah.
Now, mid-tribbers will incorrectly use this term and associate it with the seventh trump in Revelation. It's only because they don't have the proper knowledge. So as we said last week, don't you think the month before the possible rapture just might call for some introspection? Maybe?
And the seven last days of Teshuvah are called the High Holy Days.
Yes, which begins on the day following Rosh Hashanah to the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, that we will cover more fully next month. But these are the seven holiest days of their year, Tishri 3 through 10. And we looked at a few examples of God actually chastising his people more during this season.
As a warning to turn more towards him, as in Haggai 1.
Yes, right in the beginning of the chapter, he makes sure the reader knows it was during Teshuvah. I hope you read that last week, for you will see that they truly needed to turn more toward God, for they knew of him, but were not moving toward him. And when not moving toward, it's just like going backward. And by the way, you can never be too close.
Always room for improvement.
Amen. Another was when God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to seek their repentance.
Yeah, that was during Teshuvah.
Which is why God gave them the whole 40 days to repent.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
And so does this. Teshuvah corresponded to the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai, repenting to God for Israel's golden calf incident, then returning on the Day of Atonement.
Or Yom Kippur with the new set of tablets.
Yes, atonement had been made for them. Also, remember Daniel's account of the handwriting on the wall? Well, according to history, it just happened to be during Teshuvah.
You know, that was an judgment on Babylon.
Also, by connecting the dots, we can see that when Jesus was baptized, also called a mikvah, which was required when entering one's next phase of life, in Jesus' case, it was the priesthood, but John the Baptist also was proclaiming that all the people should repent.
That was the first day of Teshuvah.
Yes, and we know that because Jesus then went directly into the wilderness to pray repentance for the people and to fast and prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, which would be just 5 days after he finished his 40 days of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur. And 5 days after Yom Kippur is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, again, his birthday.
He would die 3.5 years later, which is Passover.
Everything fits like a glove.
Amen, it does.
And since it was Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry until he was 30, he purposely and scrupulously adhered to that and all the other requirements so we could benefit, especially if we knew our Jewish roots.
Yeah, these are all gold nuggets in order to know him better.
Therefore, all purposely prearranged and set up by God, who is very exact and must be precise in everything, for it all to work according to his will and prophesied in the New Testament and also the Old, as Paul said in Romans 15:4.
Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have confidence.
That's right. Translators use the word hope, but that Greek word elpis actually means confidence. And another Teshuvah example is in Ezekiel 8, where once again God makes sure we know that it's the sixth month or the 12th month on the civil or first calendar used prior to Exodus 12. When Ezekiel is shown Israel's idolatry in the temple, along with all manner of abominations.
Even amongst the elders.
Yes. They tried hiding in the dark, like God couldn't see them. God then says, I will now act in my fury. So in chapter 9, again during Teshuvah, the wicked are slain.
But not the righteous, who had a seal of protection.
They did. Because Ezekiel 8:9 is the typology of the tribulation, a type of what happens in Revelation 7 where the 144,000 are sealed from taken from the 12 tribes of Israel, who, by the way, will receive salvation immediately after our rapture. Then, sealed and set apart for protection, just before the seals are opened, starting the final judgment.
Yeah, be sure to study Ezekiel 8 and 9, as it, you know, it's a great read for typology.
As everyone knows, the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And I'll leave you with this. Again, think of Elul as the final preparation month just before your wedding. Of course, this preparation is not physical or material in nature, but rather spiritual, like a New Year's resolution to get closer to your soon coming King. And here's a gold nugget. The Hebrew letters for Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, and Lamed, which is an acronym for the words Ani Ladodi Vidodi Li. And that's taken from the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3, where it says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That's Elul. Also, a good thing is, Elul can also be a time when God's people find particular favor with him due to his judgment on their enemies, as we read in Nehemiah 6. So, Teshuvah can be a time for reprimanding his people, and often is, or a time to reprimand their enemies. And lastly, it is interesting when looking back at history, many significant events do happen in August and September, as on 9/11, and of course, lots of hurricanes. During Teshuvah, Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 is often quoted. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him teshuvah to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is why they blow the shofar during teshuvah. It is a wake-up call to be alert, as Ephesians 5:14 says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Admittedly, we likely all need to repent for the sin of omission, of not spending enough time in his word. Teshuvah is a good time to really look inward. Use the month of Elul to get closer to him, and study to show yourself approved unto God. If you're not saved, time's a-wasting. Receive him now. Don't be foolish, and therefore set yourself up for the great deception. Teshuvah to the Lord, again, before it's too late. You know, Jesus is knocking on your heart, and he's asking you, why won't you accept my salvation? It's a free gift that I give to you freely. Yep, personally to you. Don't keep serving the evil one. I know you don't think you are, but when you're not serving God, you are serving the devil. It's that simple. There's no gray areas anymore. It's black or it's white. But it's always your choice. You choose. And I'm going to, of course, leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and that's taken from Numbers 6, 22 through 27, and I really hope you have this memorized. But the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, they're going to prosper. And I hope that you are prospering in all things. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.